Hello, Brent, can you hear us okay?
Hi.
Hello, that's a great start because last time we had all kinds of technical problems. How's it going today, man?
It's all right. I'm kind of I'm on a bit of a late schedule. I kind of just woke up actually, but I'm here.
Morning. Yeah, good morning.
Thank you.
Well, thanks for calling in, man, especially if you're all groggy and half asleep. I know it takes me an hour to wake up, man.
Oh, no problem. I'm happy to talk video game music. That's one of my passions in life. So, but good evening to you guys.
Yeah, thank you.
Good
Yeah, you're
evening.
dead right. I was absolutely amazed to find out that you did the video game music show because I'm a fan of you from Poundhouse and then from your comedy away from that, and also some of your music. And I actually only discovered your video game music show the other day, and it was amazing because obviously I'm an enthusiast. So I thought first thing I'd ask is when did you first start to notice video game music and start to fall in love with it?
Well, I've always, I mean, in even when Nintendo games were new, I mean, I yeah, since actually, it I must have started. Yeah, I mean, it probably I would say mid '80s. I mean, mid to late '80s is when I started noticing that video game music was something I really liked. And I remember even telling people, if people ask me what music I liked, I think by, let's say 1990, if someone asked me what music I liked, I said the only music I like is classical music and video game music. I didn't, I wouldn't say I liked any other kind of music. I didn't really like any other kind of music besides that, actually. And then I, and so then I, so that was the case like that. And then around 2000 or 2001, actually, I started going back to a lot of Nintendo soundtracks and. I mean, like I said, I actually always liked video game music. In fact, actually, in '94 or something, I remember making an audio tape of video like Super Nintendo ending music. I would just record the music off of the TV and onto an audio cassette, but I would make I made a little compilation kind of album on a cassette tape of all ending tracks from video games. So I'd beat them, and then, or if they had a sound test, I'd use that. But, and I'd, play the track that way. But so yeah, that, and I was always going to do it for that. And then, yeah, and then the kind of around, yeah, in the, maybe in the late '90s, and then the early 2000s, I started getting into a lot of soundtracks, and then started branching out into stuff I hadn't heard before. Well, that's when I started getting into collecting also video games or recollecting video games because I kind of I thought I wasn't into video games in the early 2000s, but it was just that there was a Dark Ages period, which is like around 95 to 2000, where I like the direction of video games started going in a different direction than they were prior to that, and I thought I wasn't into video games anymore, but. It turned out I was just still, I just was only into that in a, not into the 3D kind of aesthetic, but just into, like the games that I basically things ending with Super Nintendo. So I started getting back into video games collecting. And then with that, I started discovering new soundtrack that I hadn't heard before that. And, then in like the late 2000s, I started exploring Japanese stuff. Collecting Japanese stuff, particularly Super Famicom games. So I started learning about stuff there. And then that's when we started the podcast. And we started that in 2010. And I at that point, I thought I knew a lot about video game music, but doing the podcast for a couple of years, we did it at once a week and we only stuck to third and fourth generation video game music. And I realized how much I didn't know. But now I know even, and now it's, 2009. I'm sorry, now it's 2019, and now I know a lot about video game music. After 3 years of doing the podcast, it was just too much work, so we started only doing it once a month. But yeah, so I guess my to, the long answer is what I said, and the short answer is, well, I've always had a passion for it, but I think I got even more. Yeah, I mean, I've always have, I guess, is the short answer. So.
Well, that's super cool what you were saying about the recording it on the tapes. I don't think I've ever heard anybody say that before. Because I
Oh,
think that was a bit before my time, so otherwise I would have done that.
Oh yeah, no, it's. I mean, I guess people in my sort of generation, I hear that a lot, that people would make audio cassette tapes of video game music. Yeah, whenever I kind of share that with people, they say, "Oh, I did the same thing," you know, or they'll say it to me, and I'll say, "I did the same thing." Yeah, yeah. In fact, before I discovered that the databases on the internet of all the sound files of video games. That was really the only way I would be able to share. I used to do this radio station, this radio show in the late 90s and early 2000s, in the Bay Area, the San Francisco Bay Area. And, I would play video game music from audio cassettes. That was the only way I could do it. And then I found out about places like Zophar.net and other resources that, you know, allowed me to go through a lot less trouble than recording the stuff on audio cassette.
And do you say, like, as you learned and kind of branched out, because that's something I've been doing recently as well with my own podcast, is the SNES chip and the SNES, the Super Nintendo sound, still the one that's closest to your heart, or have you found something else that you kind of prefer the sound of?
Yeah, it really depends on who is working with it, you know, which sound programmer or composer is because sometimes the Super Nintendo sound can be kind of hollow because, it's all sampled sound, right? Mm-hmm. So, you're just listening to stuff that was like sounds that were already recorded. Whereas with the Genesis or the Nintendo, you're hearing the sound being generated live even now when you hear it. So, yeah, you're hearing it right in the moment, that sound. So the sound is a lot more pure and fuller sounding than Super Nintendo, or can be. But, you know, when you get somebody like Hitoshi Sakamoto or something, or someone, and you hear a soundtrack to, say, The Adventures of Horai High School, this Japanese-only release, I mean, the sound on that sounds so good. It doesn't even sound like – it sounds very full and so it really kind of just depends on who it is. But yeah, sometimes you can hear a sort of tinniness or this sort of shallow kind of quality or empty kind of quality to the Super Nintendo. But yeah, I mean, it's because you're just hearing this like pre-recorded sound. I mean, the music is being generated live, but the sound is not. But yeah, with like Genesis, I mean, sometimes you can, you know, if you have somebody like Kazuo or Norio Hanzawa, who just, I mean, it's really rich sounding, the music. It just and also there's infinite possibilities when it comes to the sound, because they're using an FM synth, and so I don't know, I don't really have a preference now. I think just anything, yeah, it just depends on who's working with it. I mean, and Konami would just do so many great things with the Nintendo sound chip also, so yeah, it really depends on who's working with it, you know. It depends on the music. But yeah, so I don't have a preference. And yeah, sometimes the TurboGrafx 16 can sound really great too.
Yeah, you're completely right on who's working on it, because I interview a lot of these composers, and they all had like completely different approaches and little tricks and things that they were doing, just completely different to each other. So yeah.
Yeah. That's it. Really comes down to the it's like more preference about composers, I guess, rather than sound chips, I guess. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever gone back much to like the Commodore 64 stuff?
No, not as much. You know, like computer soundtracks. We did one episode on computer game music, not really. I mean, I know some, I have gone into it a little bit, but computer game music isn't something that I know a ton about. And with that Commodore 64 music, you know? Yeah.
No, it's just, there's where I draw like a lot of parallels between video game music and classical music. Like you said, you're a big fan of classical and VGM, and yeah.
Yeah. I mean, certainly there's, in a lot of, you know, sort of third generation music, you hear a lot of, you definitely hear a lot of similarities to classical music, and just, you know, just three part pieces, you know, sometimes four part pieces, where this is reminiscent of, you know, Baroque approaches to composition and so forth. Yeah.
Yeah, and so obviously on your show you play purely things from the 8-bit and 16-bit and things like that, but is there much at all from kind of modern eras, even like the past 2 decades, because we're quite old now, aren't we? Soundtracks that stick out.
I mean, certainly, yeah. Every now and then we will do a focus on beyond the fourth generation eras, so fifth and up. We'll do focuses and sort of get out of our system stuff that we know about from, that goes beyond the era we focus on. In the, say, 9 years or so that we've been doing the show, we've only done maybe 4 of these focuses. But yeah, even in the last few years, there's been some, I'm trying to think of what sticks out in the last decade or so. I mean, okay, in 2008, there was a game that it's one of my favorite games of all time, actually, even though my focus is the late 80s, early 90s. But Wario Land Shake It has an amazing soundtrack.
It actually does. I've played that.
Oh, yeah. That's such a really great game. And the music is so good to that. It's such a, it's so good. Yeah. But that's really just so good. But the composer on that is Tomoyo Tomita, and he's a former Konami employee and was involved with a lot of games that during the, even in the early 90s, he was working at Konami. So he goes back, to the era that I love. And, he did the soundtrack to that game. He also worked on the Kirby's Epic Yarn, which also has really good music as well. You probably can hear a similarity between the soundtracks to those games. But Wario Land Shake It's a good one. And do you know the game Shovel Knight that came out in 2014, I think?
Yeah, we've played some music from that on the show before, definitely.
Yeah, Jake Kaufman, otherwise known as Vert, he actually was a guest once on the Legacy Music Hour, the video game music podcast that I do. He was kind of just there checking, doing commentary with us about tracks and stuff. But this guy is he's so brilliant, and obviously very influenced by the Japanese style, the Japanese composition style of video game music from the third and fourth generation. I feel like, which I think has a very specific sound, but that's an amazing soundtrack. And actually there's a game I played not too long ago that came out in 2015, called Undertale. Toby Fox is the composer who also designed the game and pretty much did everything in the game by himself. Really amazing soundtrack as well, actually. Undertale has a great soundtrack.
Yeah, we've played music from that on the show before as well. Yeah, you're absolutely right.
Yeah, I'm so impressed that this guy was 23 or so when he made, 23 or so when he made the game. And I just don't know how this kid did it. Although I guess some of the composers from, the era that I focus on usually were, fresh out of college sometimes also. But, and that brings to mind another game. This game actually came out a while ago, but Cave Story has some good music too. It came out in 2004. But, I don't know. There's a bunch of games that have come out in the last 20 years that have good soundtracks. Eschatos is another one.
That's cool to hear, man. Because when I saw that you were only playing stuff from those generations on your show, I did think that was how you were penned in as well yourself. So that's cool to hear.
It's what?
It's cool, just cool to hear that you don't pen yourself in that much.
Oh yeah. Look, the truth is I don't really play a lot of new games, but every now and then. And it's becoming more frequent these days, actually, but games will come out that kind of appeal to my sensibility, which is kind of an older sensibility. I usually try to play those games when I get the chance,
Absolutely. We've got Steal Thy Shovel from Shovel Knight racked up to play just after this call then.
Oh, yeah, cool. Yeah, that's... what track? Just out of curiosity.
It's called Steal Thy Shovel.
Steal Thy Shovel. Oh, that's okay. Yeah. So that's with the first track, I guess. Or the first level, I guess.
Yeah, basically. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. That's great. Such a great. I mean, That's such a great soundtrack. Probably my one of the, I feel like, underrated tracks from that game is the town music. Town music is so good in that. But yeah, I love that first level as well. Yeah. The game just really combined so many elements of it combined a bunch of elements of classic Nintendo games in a really great way. You know, they really did it the right way, I feel like.
Yeah, Jake's brilliant. I'm hoping to speak to him myself.
Yeah, he's done so many games, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. He's definitely a good one to talk to, that's for sure.
Yeah, yeah. Now, do you guys you guys kind of go all over the place, or you kind of focus on more modern stuff, or what?
We go all over the place as much as possible, although if I have a focus, like, it is in the Super Nintendo Mega Drive kind of era, because that was when I was growing up.
Yeah, right. Okay, yeah. I mean, well, there's great music. I mean, that's a great... Did your thoughts change about your preference of which chip is better and stuff like that?
Well, yeah, funnily enough, I mean, I always had a Super Nintendo growing up, so just that was always my preference because it's what I had. But the more and more that I've delved into Mega Drive music, Genesis music, I just some of the sounds that that FM chip was coming out with was unbelievable.
Yeah, I had the same kind of experience that I was, you know, I had a best friend of mine and my cousin had Genesis, but you guys call it Mega Drive, I guess, right?
Yeah, correct. Yeah.
I was always with Nintendo, you know, I had a Nintendo and a Super Nintendo. So that's what I was more familiar with. And I always thought the sound was better. Like back then I thought the sound was better on Super Nintendo, but yeah, delving into getting to know, Sega stuff more, or Genesis or / Mega Drive stuff more. It really depends on who's working with it, but I've discovered some really amazing stuff on the Genesis that just, you know, some of my favorite soundtracks of all time are Genesis soundtracks.
Yeah. When I find it comes to like funkier stuff or guitar solos and
decent bass.
Yeah. Bass as well. I'm a bass player in reality. So it's always stuck out to me on that level.
Yeah, and just gosh, there's so many, some of the tones and the textures that they get out of the Genesis can sound so great sometimes, you know. Just I love it. I mean, it's closer to, I don't know, closer to reminds me of electronic music from the 70s more, you know.
Well, absolutely, we just played on the show a couple of tracks ago, stuff from Echo the Dolphin, which is super ambient and just like synth sounds. It's gorgeous.
Yeah, yeah, totally, yeah. And, you know, the Genesis had, what was kind of funny is, you know, the Genesis basically, I mean, you probably know this already, but the Genesis basically had a Nintendo sound chip in it, in addition to the FM synth, that there was a PSG in there as well. So you're kind of getting, there's so many, you're getting a ton of different channels and sounds coming out of it, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I always disregarded it simply because I don't own one. But no, the more you listen to it, it's incredible.
Well, also, I feel like sometimes at first, I maybe just didn't... There were a lot of games I hadn't heard from, and then the games I had heard from, you know, like maybe they weren't utilizing the sound chip as well, and so I kind of dismissed it as not sounding as good as the Super Nintendo. But even though I always loved Sonic the Hedgehog, that always had great music in it, even when it came out. But... But getting to know all these other games that I had never played and before and knew about, just there's so many great soundtracks from the Genesis. Yeah, but
absolutely. Well, Brent, that's absolutely perfect. It's Legacy Music Hour, right? Your show, if I'm not wrong.
That's correct. Yeah, Legacy Music Hour, and we only do it once a month now. It's the first. Well, actually, it's not totally true, but. So a new episode comes out every first Wednesday of the month, and we kind of let that episode sort of exist for a couple weeks, and then the third Wednesday and every Wednesday after that of the month, we release mixtapes, basically of we call them mixtapes, but they're basically music only mixes of prior episodes. So. You know, just in case people don't like the talking, which sometimes they don't, you know, and they just want to hear the music. We've been kind of releasing just, you know, compilations of just the music that we play, you know, from an episode, just only on those following days. But for the first 3 years though, it's every week. So anyway, that's our schedule. And yeah, the backlog has a bunch of interviews as well, with composers from that time. And, a couple English composers as well. Tim Follin and David Wise.
Oh, both absolute classics. Yeah, I've spoke to David myself.
Yeah. There's a couple of interviews like that, and then as well as some Japanese composers. There's interviews and all that. Yeah, one is interested in kind of prefers, or you know, if they like the idea of focusing on just sort of third and fourth generation music, that's the one to check out, I guess. Yeah.
Yes, it's a place to go, definitely. Yeah.
It's a complete treasure trove for any VGM enthusiast. You'll definitely discover some things you've never heard there as well, because I already have. It's brilliant.
Yeah, me too, actually. You know, it's funny because I thought when I started the podcast, I thought I knew a lot, you know, and then it's just there's so much I found that I learned about even in those first 2 years. And it never stops. I'm always discovering new stuff. I mean, there were so many games that came out during that time that it's just virtually infinite. I mean, I'll die without, you know, ever listening to everything or discovering every great track that came out during that time. You know, there's just so many games. I've listened to a lot of stuff, and not to say that every piece of music that came out then was great, because there's a lot of really boring stuff that I have to sift through to find the really great tracks.
That's true.
I spent countless hours, and this is why we changed why I stopped doing the podcast weekly. It just became so much work to just, I'd spend hours upon hour, listening to music and, you know, just listening to just boring soundtrack after the next, and finally finding one track in a soundtrack that was really great. And it was just a really tiring process, you know.
Hunting for gold.
Yeah.
It does feel like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. Oh, totally. Yeah. Totally. It is looking for gold. And yeah. Mm-hmm. But there is.
You find it and you know.
Yeah.
And that's amazing. What's worth the journey.
Totally. Yeah. Totally. Yeah. But video game music, I love it because it's just so. Well, particularly from those earlier eras, it's a very specific sound, and it sounds like no other kind of music, you know. It just has a really, it really kind of feels like its own genre of music. Whereas in later years, you know, it just, while there are some great soundtracks in video games, sometimes it's reminiscent of older times, but. You know, it's kind of just sounds more or less like movie music. But video game music is its own genre, really kind of, I feel like, sounds it's most like its own genre during that time, because I guess just with the limitations. And so the approach that sort of developed out from those limitations really created its own sound, even just compositionally. The hardware aesthetic aside, just compositionally, the approach was really... really unique. So.
Yeah, because it's from an innovation standpoint, from a compositional standpoint, and from just a pure sound, like interesting new sound standpoint. You're completely right on everything.
Because like sometimes people will hear chiptune music now, and they'll say, "Oh, that sounds like Nintendo or something." And I kind of think, to me, what defines it more than the hardware aesthetic. Or like people use Game Boys or whatever to create new music now, but really it's the composition that to me is what makes it sound. Like sometimes I'll hear stuff that doesn't have an 8-bit aesthetic or whatever, but the composition reminds me of video game music from the 80s and 90s, and to me it's like the composition that really makes. Makes it have that video gamey sound, I feel like, you know.
Yeah, the classical influence as well, like we were talking about. The composition is so complex back in those eras.
Yeah, I mean, just really dynamic and just a lot of interesting counter melodies and stuff, yeah.
Right, well, that's absolutely brilliant, Brent. Thanks so much for agreeing to call in.
Absolutely.
Anybody listening, go and check out the Legacy Music Hour. We're going to call it a friend show, not a rival. No point being rivals, is there?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, no. Friend show for sure. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, cool. Thank you very much for that, Brent. And maybe we'll speak in the future about your comedy and stuff as well.
Sure. Sure thing.
Oh, awesome. All right, dude. Well, I'll be in touch when this is all edited and actually released.
Okay.
All right, man. Well, have a good day.
Oh, you too. You guys have a good night.
Bye.
Cheers,
for now,
man.
Bye-bye.
Bye.